Yes, it's me, it's me. It's that B-O-R-D-E-R-B. O-S-S. R-I-P. This is Border Boss. You can find me online at borderbosseternal@gmail.com. I check every email by hand. Border Boss R-I-P on Twitter. I check every tweet by hand. You can find me in Facebook on a group called Podcast Town, where it's almost summer, which means it's almost chili dog summer. And, you know, for me, it's that all year. And I don't know if we've been over this extensively, but I'm always tinkering with the way I eat. And right now I'm doing one of those all fat, all sloppy meat diets. So I can handle all of the sleazy gas station weenies that the world can throw at me. And, you know, I wake up the next day, maybe even a little bit sexier than the day before. But you got to be careful, because that lady this week, maybe you heard about this, she caught botulism or salmonella or ptomaine or impetigo or something from gas station nacho cheese. And that hits close to home, because I am usually pretty fearless about eating whatever's in a gas station. I just don't care. I get the sodas from those really filthy machines. I was just recently talking about the fact that I have eaten out of those, you know, dusty open bins of like pemmican or whatever they are, Tillamook beef snacks. I grabbed some of that nasty rawhide out of that bin, and it was covered, you know, in fingerprints. And even as I put it up to my mouth, I could smell that something was amiss. And I'm like, you know, I paid for this. This is my experience, and I'm going down this, you know, whatever. And I ate it, and it was rotten for sure. And I don't think I've ever been the same. I mean, it's possible that I died that day and the rest of this has been a simulation. You can find me on borderboss.rip. It's a website that I just don't really maintain at the moment very well. Maybe I'll go back and backfill some of that stuff. But, you know, I'm just not trying to do any extra work right now. I'm very tired. If you listen to episode 14, maybe you know why. I am a father. Recent father, and this baby thing is for younger people than me. Fatherhood is, I mean, it doesn't come to mind automatically that fatherhood is a young man's game, because in your mind's eye, you're thinking of dads when you're like 16 to 19. That's when dad is the impediment to the average person, I think, right? And that's when you start to be a little embarrassed by your dad or whatever, maybe earlier. But even still, by that point, even a young dad is in his, you know, late 30s or something like that. But he started out when he was in his 20s, fresh, tight, able-bodied, and I'm not doing that. So in that spirit, I want to give the young bucks in my audience, I know there's a few of you, I want to give you some fatherly advice. I want to be either a wise older boy or a father figure to you. I want to talk to you about investments. You have to start caring about your investments now. Don't put it off. What brought this on is I was looking through my Twitter feed, right? And my Twitter feed is mostly garbage, because I get really hung up on niche interests and fall into a tunnel and will add things in a book. I think probably everybody does this. I don't think this is some sort of unique circumstance, but, you know, I'll be hung up on DeviantArt artists who use their Wacom tablets to draw, you know, rusting Hulk futuristic robots realistically, you know, decaying in a really serene landscape. There must be thousands of those people, and I'll follow 8 of them to 10 of them at a time. I'll be like, oh, this is so cool. I just want to know more about how they do this, because I do a little illustration myself. Or I'll be like, you know, I need to learn politics. I need to learn about politics. I want to know what the hell that Donald Trump meme means. I want to know the essence of that. So I'll add a whole bunch of, you know, Chapo Trap House retweet guys, or, you know, anybody who can just murder alt-right dudes left and right with these lethal, street-lethal one-liners. So when I look at Twitter once a week, it's this colorful, glittering trash fire. And this week I realized that I am somehow connected to a band called I Am Warface. You know, if these guys are your friends, I'm sorry, for multiple reasons. Or if you're in the band I Am Warface, I'm very sorry. Someone had to tell you this stuff, though. You know, and I don't actually even know if what I'm about to talk to really applies to them, but it looks like it applies to them. And by the way, they bill themselves as Rocktronica, so I don't even know what to do with that. Let's put that aside for now. really what it reminded me of is that you have to start putting in your time now to organize what you're going to enjoy when you're in your 30s. And that means paying attention to the cool local bands right now and grabbing the right member of that band to be someone that you cling on to in social media for a while. Here's why. If you've never been in a band for more than a week or so, there's a couple of personality types that make a cool young band operate. There's the mastermind. They write all the cool riffs. They write all the music. They organize everything in their brain. They can, hear harmonies and beats all fully realized in their mind. And they can probably play most of the instruments in the band. Not always, but, often. And then you got a couple of worker bees. And worker bees, there's no shame in being a worker bee. It's not a bad thing. If you're a worker bee, you're mostly along for the ride. You might shred. You might be just as good as the mastermind, or you might not be. But you're reliable. You can play your instrument. You show up. And, you're part of the team and you're having fun. That's great. It's a hobby. You're having a good time. There's nothing wrong with that. And you can be both or either at any given time. I've been both. Sometimes I just don't want to work that hard, but I still want to play. So I find a friend who's really good at something and I just want to shred over the top of it. I don't want to work that hard, but that's where I'm at. I'm always one of those two. And if you and I are friends, you probably are as well. And then there's the lead singer. And you've probably heard of lead singeritis or, lead singer syndrome. That's all real. A lot of bands don't even have a lead singer. They might have a lead vocalist, but there are bands, I've been in several, like a lot of my best bands didn't have that guy. You probably know what I'm talking about. We often didn't have the guy who puts a tattoo above his penis. But anyway, the lead singer is almost always on his own trip and usually doesn't even realize that the other members of the band are doing things and that they're doing work. He thinks, and I'm saying he for a reason, lead singer is almost always a guy. The other two phenotypes can be any gender or any identity. Lead singer, always a guy. And he doesn't realize that the mastermind is writing the music and the worker bees are playing it. He just thinks the whole DNA, that everything that makes the band work is within him. And so that first cool band, the band that he was in till he was 22, is eventually going to fall apart because the mastermind is going to have been working really hard at school without really even telling anybody. He's going to get his MBA or be really good at UX. And music is going to become a wistful memory. They're going to be in their office, sort of quietly lamenting that they don't get to tour anymore, that they don't get to play anymore, but they're going to have health insurance and they're going to be listening to the new Dying Fetus in a pretty decent Audi. So it's like a moot point. The worker bees may or may not move on right away, but they're going to move on. They're going to have to either take their carpet cleaning or full-time movie theater job seriously, or they're going to have a bunch of kids, or, they're going to get their CCNA or MCSE or whatever, and they're going to be fine. When you're a worker bee, the world is your oyster. You can go in any direction you want. Like, you could be Dave Grohl. You could just decide to be one of the biggest musicians on earth in one of the worst bands on earth. That's an option that's open to you when you're a worker bee. Although, in a way, maybe he was a mastermind as well to begin with, because there would have been no fame for Nirvana if it wasn't for the sick beat and Smells Like Teen Spirit. That song was all on the drums. Anyway, that leaves behind the lead singer, and I specifically choose the words leave behind. And you need to grab onto this guy and hold on to him for as long as you can, because he's going to be worth his weight in dark, shameful gold. It's not going to seem like it right away. First of all, you're going to be young while he's young, and so you're going to be a little bit older when he's a little bit older, when he forms his second band, which is going to be a couple of the worker bees that are still hanging around, and it's going to be just not really that embarrassing, but also not very good. It's going to be something either really extravagant or really back to basics, but who cares? What you have to let him do is marinate for a little while. He needs to drive around town listening to his old band's first demo, bopping his head and being like, this is fucking good, dude. We were fucking good. And now he's starting to really stew into a rich flavor, and he's going to have to start pulling from younger and younger pools of talent for his subsequent bands. And he's not going to get the cream of the crop, because who's going to play with like an at this point 36, the 38 year old guy who also doesn't seem to have any music written or anything. So now he's the guy who will put his mother, his wife, his children on blast if they interfere with band practice. You know how important this is to me. And he's going to be the guy who talks to his boss at work about gigs. I've never done that in my life. Most of my coworkers probably don't even know that I've ever been in a band. But he will tell his boss about gigs that he has coming up and probably even ask the boss to come to them. And so now he finds two 23-year-old dudes who don't know any better and like the last remaining worker bee who will still play with him for some reason. And even that worker bee, his scalp is already starting to itch. He knows he's made a mistake at the first band meeting because you know the band starts with a band meeting. It just has to. The singer is going to tell them at the band meeting that we're going to be influenced by Tyler Durden and we won't stand for any of that sellout shit. And this band is going to be huge because of all the connections that the singer made 19 years ago when he almost signed to Roadrunner Records. And now you have struck oil. Delicious, dark oil. He is immediately going to begin posting videos that you're going to love where he is wearing distressed bootcut jeans from Ross on a stage with green lighting and he has a headband on. He's outside of his home with a headband on. And you'll be able to see behind him is a banner. And it's going to be in some freeware font that came with Word, but you know, he had a buddy put some sick flame filters on it or some slime filters. And it will have, you know, more than one website or Instagram on it somewhere, including maybe even the place that printed it. And it's going to say something like the fucking rock or uncivil liberties or, you know, strength through soul blood. Lead singer's our first draft guys. He came to that first meeting with no real ideas and just relied on his innate talent and wit to carry him through that first band meeting where he told everybody that the band was going to be called Tribal Rage or I Am Warface. And he would have already had those shirts made. And they are terrible, but now you are rolling in it. There's no need to thank me, but now you are in a Scrooge McDuck vault of sweet, sweet nectar of Schadenfreude. It's yours for the taking, all the way until he actually experiences a real medical emergency and puts up a GoFundMe that is so shameful you finally have to let this highly polished jewel slip through your fingers. So I tried the breakfast salsa this week. Not for actual breakfast, because, you know, as a new parent with zero parenting skills, I don't have the privilege of leaving the house in the morning to go buy tacos. That's not a concept that exists. But the guy who makes my custom bowl, he could tell by the look in my eyes that I'm out there on the ledge. And he took pity and he gave me a couple of packets with my afternoon frescos. It's actually kind of weird that they don't just offer this all day, every day. It's nothing special. It's like the same salsa you would probably get with your greasy roller taquito at 7-Eleven. But it's salsa. You know, it's got chunks. There's chunks in there, and it's just strange that salsa isn't a normal option at Taco Bell. And then by now, even breakfast salsa might not be an option anymore, because I went back a couple days later, and the lady told me we aren't doing that anymore. It was out for an actual week. The mind reels. You're probably wondering why I'm skipping over the naked chicken chips. It's because you should too. They're just chicken nuggets. They taste fine, but they're just chicken nuggets. I mean, I hope to God that you've had chicken nuggets before. But, you know, something about the ads made me think that they were going to be different. They called them chicken chips. And they showed them dipping into stuff. And I thought it was going to be really crispy. I thought they were going to pull some alchemy, like the little fried doodads you get in the bowl at Long John Silver's. I thought it was just going to be this deep fried asymptote that gets impossibly thin beyond the actual horizons of the chicken. And that it was just going to be, you know, unexist. It was going to get so thin that it stopped existing, like a really hammered fried egg, the way you get that super crispy thin edge. It's none of that. But that reminds me, somebody responded to, I think, a kissing contest tweet about the 20 taco challenge. They said that they had 60 chicken McNuggets in one sitting. And that doesn't seem that impressive because we're all buying 20 chicken McNugget boxes, right? We're all eating those like it's just not a big deal anymore. This is 2017. Everybody can eat 20 nuggets, but 60 nuggets, I think he said that it made him super dehydrated. And that's sort of a nice little portable model of what can go wrong when you decide to do some stunt eating without any training whatsoever. parts of your body revolt that you weren't expecting. And, you know, your body just stops making sense. You're like, this is what goes wrong. It's not my guts. It's my esophagus. But anyway, the chicken chip is just a McNugget. So apart from being a new thing that you can politely ask to have rammed into you or your mom's enchirito, this is the thing that kind of brought me to a level of exhaustion on new items where I don't think I care for a little while. I think I'm out of the news cycle for a little while. But not everybody is so jaded. My pal Mike is a very busy man right now. Kissing contest is turning into some sort of formless Akira of weird ideas. I have no idea what direction they're taking next, but Virtual Pros is hardening into a perfect crystal of honest podcasting with some big news on the horizon that I'm privy to. But he still took some time out to let me know that an actual human being had finally set foot in one of those famous Cantina Taco Bells, which were otherwise, as far as I'm concerned, a strict myth. There was no evidence that people had been inside of them until a new and very short-lived segment that I'm going to call Cantina, Have You Seen Her? I don't have to have a good name for this because it's not like we're going to do it again.
Famous Virtual Pros, along with Kissing Contest, and of course, Cigarette News. And I have a little Taco Bell scene report for everybody out there. If you guys do not listen to the Virtual Pros podcast, which you can find on iTunes or SoundCloud or wherever else you find podcasts, we had a little virtual con, if you will, in Chicago a few weeks ago, where we invited a bunch of our fans and listeners out to hang out with us and go see wrestling and get wild and crazy and do whatever. And while we were there, we just, me and Al from Virtual Pros and a couple of our friends, Paige and Joel, just happened to be walking down an avenue called North Milwaukee in a pretty fancy, kind of hip area of Chicago. And we just happened to walk by the fabled Taco Bell Cantina. And I was in shock. I wasn't expecting it. I completely forgot that there was a Taco Bell Cantina in Chicago. I believe it was the first ever. I could be wrong. The border boss could correct me on that, but I believe it was the first one ever. And we had just eaten, but I was just like, I got to go in. I got to check this out. I got to have a taco and a beer at the Taco Bell Cantina. And outside of the wrestling we went to, I will say it was the most photos I took while I was in Chicago was of the Taco Bell Cantina because I was just so happy to see it. So for those who haven't been there and, you know, just fantasize about going someday, I just wanted to run down my experience and my review of the Taco Bell Cantina for you. First off, it's a pretty unassuming Taco Bell. It just has a small Taco Bell sign in the front. It's a storefront on like a street with a lot of pedestrian traffic. So it's not like your normal standalone Taco Bell drive through blah, blah, blah. It's just like it's inside of a building, or not inside of a building. You know what I mean? It's in there. It's part of a longer block of other stores and shit like that. So just basically a storefront. What I liked about it is that it seemed like it almost went out of its way to maybe trick you into thinking that it wasn't a Taco Bell. Like outside of the Taco Bell sign up front, which is just the Taco Bell font in white. It's nothing, none of the actual imagery or iconography of Taco Bell. There's also, I don't know the proper term for the signs, but the kind of signs that hang down from a building that you're supposed to see while you're walking by, like the kinds that light up that you might see in like a movie about Japan or a movie with, you know, like old timey movies where it would be like motel with an arrow pointing towards the entrance of the motel, all lit up and broken and shit. Taco Bell has one of those. It's just as tacos, though, not even in the Taco Bell font. So it's kind of like if you're walking down the street, you might be tricked into thinking, oh, that's a taco place. So people who have hangups about Taco Bell might even be tricked into going into the Taco Bell Cantina without even knowing it's a Taco Bell. So inside, it's, you know, it's definitely a little cleaner than your run-of-the-mill Taco Bell. I should say ahead of time, I live in New York City where the average Taco Bell is pretty gross, and it's visited by 20 million people a day, so they don't really make your tacos with care. So It's definitely the worst quality Taco Bell out of all the Taco Bells I've been to in the country. So any Taco Bell outside of New York is just a privilege for me. But yeah, this was pretty clean inside. They have like an exposed brick wall on one side, like a nice painted mural on the other side. It's not like huge, like it's not super touristy or anything. I will say, like I said, the signage is minimum, which is and you know, you get like that feeling right ahead that this is a different from a normal Taco Bell. Unlike if in the city in New York, if you go to like the fancy McDonald's or the fancy Burger King, if that even still exists, they just look like a regular ass McDonald's and a Burger King from outside. So you are not enticed to come in at all. But you see this Taco Bell and you're like, you see those Dos Equis bear signs and you're just like, I wonder what that's all about. So you go in, it's clean, it's nice. There's chairs, there's you know, there's tabletops, there's regular chairs, blah, blah, blah. They have, as far as alcohol, they have beer and then they have sangria and then they have, alcohol or liquor that you can mix into your freezy slushies, whatever they call their slushies at Taco Bell. And, on top of like the regular ass, one of the machines that you'd see behind the counter of Taco Bell, they display the liquor in the way like a bar would. And, you know, it's all top shelf stuff. It's, Kettle One, Captain Morgan. That's not super top shelf, but you know, it's not well, basically. There's some Don Julio tequila up there. I just got a beer. I can't remember what their selection was, but it was like, you know, it was some kind of like low-end craft beer that was probably bought out by Budweiser at some point. So it was craft beer at one point, but it, you know, it was like the Fat Pig Pale Ale or some shit like that. I don't know. I'm not a craft beer guy as much as my friends will tell you differently. I don't follow that stuff. And it was fair. It was only like $4. I think it was like $4.20. Get it? No, it really was like around $4.20, I think. And that's a pretty good price. So I got that and a couple tacos. Tacos were well made. And you know, the beer was a beer. The other big difference between this Taco Bell and many other Taco Bells is their soda machine was an artisanal soda machine. It was some brand called Stubborn Soda. And instead of like the usual just push button spouts they have, it had like a real like kind of bear tap thing on it, so you felt like you were like getting something special there. And they had fancy ass flavors like classic root beer, which really isn't that fancy, and black cherry and orange hibiscus, which is not a flavor you see a lot. It was pretty good. Orange hibiscus was pretty good. Black cherry, they're all pretty good. The ones I just didn't try Caleb's Cola, which I assume was normal cola, but maybe it wasn't. Then they have your normal Pepsi products. They had Pepsi and Mountain Dew, but I didn't fuck with those. And trying to think of anything else. There's some widescreen TVs there for your viewing pleasure. Some guy came and bust my table, and I don't know if that's a normal normal thing in the Taco Bell cantina or if that's just because we're taking too long and we're just sitting around and he wanted us to get out. But either way, they also give you the tacos in like a nice plastic basket, so it almost feels like you're at a real restaurant. Surprisingly, we went there at like around 4 p.m. during the day on a Saturday. There's no one else drinking in there. I believe it's a place that's also open almost 24 hours, if not 24 hours. So I don't understand why it's not a huge party all the time in there. But I guess if you're used to the Taco Bell cantina, maybe it doesn't seem like a special thing to you. But if I had one in my town, I'd be there partying all the time. At the same time, there's a million Chipotles there and they all serve beer. But at the same time, Chipotle's not that great. And I think it's like $6 for a beer there. So it's a little different. $4 for what I assume, I think it was a whole pint. It might have just been 12 ounces of a beer. Or you, like, if I was really trying to get lit there, I would have definitely got the twisted freezies and gotten some vodka or tequila inside my slushies and got a little lit. But we had things to do. Either way, 5 stars, one of the best Taco Bell experiences of my life. It's definitely, you know, if you're in Chicago, I wouldn't say travel to Chicago just to see the Taco Bell cantina. But, you know, if you're in the area, fucking check it out, because when are you going to be able to drink a beer at a Taco Bell legally? I'm sure people drink beers in the parking lot of Taco Bell all the time, but legally, it's an experience. Get some orange hibiscus soda. It's a nice place to hang out. It's clean. The people were nice. It's a great experience. So check out the Taco Bell Cantina next time you are in Chicago. Thank you, Border Boss. Thank you, fans. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Border Bozos. Peace out.
like we've all been there now. It's a shared experience. You know, I saw pictures from Mike's trip to this cantina, and I saw that, you know, Rockefeller gold-plated Lamborghini soda fountain. And it was something to behold. It was all sodas. I think maybe it was Stubborn Sodas or one of those. It's one of those, you know, beer-looking sodas that are out there now. But it was a pump of them, and I think it was all free refills. And I could definitely do some damage on that. I could probably do $38 to $50 worth of damage just on one soda tap alone. That's what you got to do. You got to look for places to wrench value out of this world. It really helps if you're an indiscriminate glutton. Anyway, I thought I would conclude this week with a couple of really busted menu hacks. I thought for a second I'd be thinking outside of the box, telling you the chicken chips are not that big a deal, but now you can make a chick star. But then they put it on the menu. So who's the clown now? But luckily, listener John was there to bail me out. He emailed me like a month and a half ago. But, you know, we're operating on a long timeline now. Not just in me failing to give you a podcast with any sort of frequency, but, you know, I just can't remember things from even a couple of days ago, let alone months ago. So now we're doing like the podcasting equivalent of those old correspondence chess games where one Star Trek guy mails a chess move to another Star Trek guy and they, you know, play a game over the course of a year and a half. We're in it now. Anyway, John's a pioneer, and he went to the KFC Taco Bell, and this was at the time when they were making that KFC chicken pizza. I don't even know if it's still out there or not, but he ordered that KFC chicken pizza flatty, and he had them make a naked chicken tostada out of it. And he sent me a picture, and it looks like hell. It's like a Soviet bread line on a tray, but the good kind of hell where you know, like a crappy microwave pizza where you still know it probably tasted awesome. So my KFC Taco Bell is divided. It's on the same property. They share a parking lot, but it's two separate buildings that have this little umbilicus, this little Bering Strait land bridge. And I don't know if there's a tube that pumps taco sauce back and forth through it or not, but that's the only thing really connecting them. So if I wanted to deploy this menu hack, not only would I have to ring out twice at two separate places, then I'd have to sit down in a Taco Bell booth, dig my hand into a KFC bag, and hand assemble an item at the table. I'm not above that. I do shameful stuff like that all the time. But the further you get into it, the more it makes me feel like I'm that much closer to building a bomb or calling a sex hotline or getting a Disney tattoo. But there's a good menu hack that I'm excited for you to try. I haven't tried it myself, and I may not try it for a little while because, you know, it's almost summer. We're getting very close to the time of year when my torso is going to be visible to all the 80-year-old Russians at the YMCA pool. So I got to keep it as tight as I can possibly get it, which is not very tight. But I want you to try it. All you have to do is have the gumption to walk up to the Taco Bell cashier and ask for an order of the Cinnabon balls and some sour cream. Don't be a wimp. Don't order some other things to make the sour cream. You know, like when you buy a bunch of things and tuck the condoms into it. Order the Cinnabon balls and the sour cream and sit down. Courage is part of the recipe. But I'm told that if you dip the balls into the sour cream, it tastes like a delicious cheesecake. Multiple sources are reporting that this works. So I want you to try it out, and I want you to drop me a line, borderbosseternal@gmail.com. I read every email, and I'd like to know how happy and fat you've become after a month or two of eating the Taco Bell cheesecake, or if it makes you sad and ashamed. You can't possibly be as ashamed as I am that I blew a shitty punchline opportunity about 30 seconds ago when I chose to say, dip the balls instead of dip your balls.